this piece of filet mignon.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
There's no comeback story for me. I've always been here. I've been living my best life.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You know, he didn't urinate down his leg, man. That's a great place to begin.
Mike Tomlin's a national treasure, folks. National treasure.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. Jets cornerback Sauce Gardner. Co-founder of Merging Vets and Players, Nate Boyer. Celtics point guard Marcus Smart. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show live here on the Roku channel and this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate coast to coast. Also, we say hello to those listening on the Odyssey app. Everyone who's been calling our call screener, Adam, in the back saying, when are you getting on Sirius XM? It's coming, I promise you. It's just around the corner. We've been champing at the bit as well. But we're thrilled to be here for you on this Wednesday, getting ready for the week two kickoff tomorrow night between the Chargers and the Chiefs. A highly anticipated game, certainly in the world of Prime Video, everyone on Amazon for that. And this is day three for us on the Roku channel. And I started the show off Monday by asking a question: if Roku adds 10 pounds. The answer is yes. They sent us bagels for breakfast today.
And
they were delicious.
They were phenomenal. They were
really good. You'll have to excuse me if I've got a poppy seed in a...
Nice.
I'm good, right? Am I good?
You're good, Rich.
Okay.
I think.
Got
I
it. Very good. Anyway, hey. Like welcome to our program. Good to see you over there, Chris Brockman. How are you?
Hey, Rich. What's up, man?
I'm good. DJ Mikey D is in D's Nuts. Good to see you, Mike Del Tufo.
Good morning, Rich.
How are you? Have you lit the candle, TJ Jefferson? Have you lit the candle?
The candle's lit, okay. And it's Wednesday, and you know what that means.
No. What does it mean?
We're going to have a great show.
Hey! Well, if any day ends in Y, it does.
I like the good.
Cowboys happens, have a quarterback yet? Did I miss
yeah.
that?
No,
it's Cooper Rush.
It's Cooper Rush.
It's Cooper.
Cooper.
It's Cooper Rush.
I don't think we can call him a Manning.
Cooper Rush versus Joe Burrow.
Look, all I'm going to say is this.
By the way, a division winner from last year is going to be 0-2.
That's true.
And
I feel bad for the Bengals.
And then there's another game later on. There's another game. Two playoff teams, wild card teams, playing each other for trying to avoid 0-2 in Arizona and Vegas. You know, there's a lot at stake, bro.
Yes, there is.
You don't want to go 0-2 in the NFL. So that's my way to set up your whatever, how you were going to follow up his trolling of you out of nowhere.
I wasn't even going to troll. It was a legitimate question because we're all, like, consumed with this. Brockman, is it too early to have the Arch Manning watch clock on yet?
No.
Dallas?
For anyone, really, but sure.
No, for Dallas.
Oh, good Lord.
No.
Yes, it is too early for that. Is it too early for him to have the Celtics clock on for him as a Patriot fan?
I think so. You know,
I think so too.
He got caught up in his feelings the other day. He knows that. He knows he's got the goat of all coaches. You know, he had to get some stuff off his chest, but I believe he's calmed down enough to realize that he was a little wrong.
I asked that to set up the fact Marcus Smart, or as Mark Jackson would call him, Marcus Smart.
Marcus.
He does have
Marcus Smart.
He does have three. The greatest Boston sports name ever, because he has two R's in his name.
Marcus.
That you can just, you know, bypass with an A-H. Marcus Smart. It's the greatest Boston sports name ever.
I never thought about
that. It's incredible. I loved it when we drafted him. I love him more every single day. Can't wait to hear from
Defensive player of the year in the NBA for a Celtics team that went from seemingly being torn apart at the seams by themselves, needing all sorts of player meetings in December. And then the calendar turns. They ripped off so many different ways to win, and then they damn near won the whole thing. So Marcus Smart will be joining us. And I definitely want to ask him when he joins us in hour number three how – that piece of news that Kevin Durant was on the Celtics radar screen with Jaylen Brown going back, how that landed in his world and also his locker room. He'll join us in hour number three. Our friend Nate Boyer will be on in hour number two. The movie version of Merging Vets and Players, the organization he co-founded with Jay Glazer to make sure that veterans returning home from the theater of war, and in Jay Glazer's world, athletes that are leaving the world of athletics, both subsets of very highly trained and also very competitive individuals and humans, both of them together working out how they can find the next step in their lives successfully. merging vets and players, is now a movie, MVP. And Nate Boyer acts in it. He directed it. Sylvester Stallone is atop the movie poster. He's an executive producer, and Jay Glazer's in it, and the whole Glaze world is in it. If you blink, you might miss me. Although, I don't know. I'm at the very end of the movie. We shot it a couple of years ago. So if you see it, you'll see the old NFL Network set in the movie. Anyway, it premieres in theaters across the United States tonight. Nate Boyer is here to celebrate that and talk about that awesome organization. And Sauce Gardner.
Dallas.
He's not the reason why the Jets are 0-1, but he is a reason why, as you know, I'm very excited about the Jets and seeing what they can do as long as Zach Wilson can stay upright. He will be joining us in about 15 minutes' time, courtesy of his friends at Buffalo Wild Wings. He's got to deal with them. And there's a very unique trading card that's out there based on his nickname.
Oh, you don't say?
Yes, that's right. So you might be in on that. I don't know if it's going to build you the same house that Arch Manning's cards in your world is going to build you
it
a house.
It might. Maybe the summer rental, you know.
You know what? here's how we're going to start this program today. I haven't done this in the eight years, right? I haven't done this at all. And normally I don't get the sense of why people do this, but I think people like lists and they like rankings.
Love them.
And they think that it's a source of argument. And
I can attest to that,
going to dip my toe in this pool to see how this works.
The bubbles tickle.
Here it goes. NFL Films music. The first ever.
Oh.
Power rankings.
Hey.
History.
Oh. I'm coming over to the dark side.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Because again, the rankings themselves, you will feel the energy.
I love it.
The power from the rankings themselves.
Yes.
I think will just fuel the debate after just 1 week of NFL action, after just four quarters for all 32 teams of action.
It's going to feel so good,
I've
Rich.
Come up with the top 10 teams in the NFL based on what I've seen.
Ooh. Huzzah!
Based on what I'm seeing. That's the way I'm going to rank them.
With your own two eyes.
I know there's different ways to rank them.
I'll touch the ranks.
Let's go!
I procrastinated long enough.
Let's go!
I'm finally going to do it. Here's 10 through 6. Put it
Don't
on the screen. I can't quit the Raiders.
Oh, come on.
I can't quit the Raiders.
Are you serious?
I can't quit the Raiders nor the Packers. I can't quit them. The Raiders are 10 and the Packers are 9. The Ravens are 8. The Dolphins are 7. The Rams are 6. Keep it on the screen. I'll just give it to you.
Yeah, talk it out.
I'm going to talk it out here.
Talk it out. Come on now.
Did you see card of Davante Adams? Did you see it? Did you see card to?
I saw it.
Darren Waller. Did you see Carr to Hunter Renfrow?
Not really. Not that. That was the problem.
As long as they can see to it that we give Derek Carr a little bit more of protection, and Derek can get the ball out faster. Remember times I was just sitting there thinking, "What's he holding on to it?" I thought the McDaniels offense is like Brady. See it, throw it, go. Let's go. But I think Davante Adams and the Raiders, they're still one of the best offenses in the league, and I'm not quitting the Raiders yet. I can't.
I won't.
And I think they're going to boat race Arizona, too. I think that's going to be a game that they win handily this Sunday. And then there's the Packers. Lazard's not going to be out forever. They're still 12. I love their defense. More often than not, the Packers are going to win football games this year. They're 9th on my list. The Ravens, as I called them yesterday, sneakiest good passing attack in the NFL. Lamar hasn't even started running yet. And J.K. Dobbins wasn't even running at all. Gus Edwards will be coming back soon. I like their defense. I like the Ravens. And I'm putting the Dolphins 7. I'm putting the Dolphins at 7 because I like the offense, man. And the defense was balling out. They put points in the end zone. They beat up Mac Jones. They beat up the Patriots. That thing shouldn't have been as close. And again, the reason why everyone's pointing at Tua, saying Tua is just, you know, flipping it out there 8 yards and letting his guys run the rest. Well, that works. That works. I'm putting the Dolphins 7. I can't believe I'm having the Dolphins that high after the first week, but that's where I'm going. And then the Rams, they're your world champs. I'm not quitting on them either. They still have one of the best rosters in the NFL. They just went up against the best team in the NFL. And, you know, they didn't play a lot of guys in the preseason, and I think it showed. And I believe they're still that team that can win the NFC West, obviously, and then win the entire conference. I think they're still out there. All right, Mike. Turn down the music a little bit here. Thank you very much. He's into it, too. You feel the power. I think the music felt the power right there. Okay, here we go.
Feel the power.
Here we go. Here's your top five, one by one. Speaking of power, number five on the list are your Los Angeles Chargers.
Hey.
I like it.
I'm putting them there. Number five on your list are the Los Angeles Chargers. Then I'm going Vikes, Bucks, Chiefs, Bills. All right. The Chargers are fifth on the list. I dig them because Khalil Mack showed up. And Derwin James has been paid, and he is healthy. And that defense is no joke. Concerned about Keenan Allen's health, obviously, moving forward. But they've got an MVP candidate and a quarterback. And as long as they don't do Chargers things, you know, well, like as long as Brandon Staley can keep the fourth down attempts to just two a game as opposed to six, I like them. I'm taking the Vikings fourth. They may just have the offensive player of the year in Justin Jefferson. Dalvin Cook, who is on tomorrow's program, still a top five wide running back in this league. Kirk Cousins has been unlocked maybe by Kevin O'Connell. He brings in that McVay Shanahan system that's been built for Kirk Cousins. He's the prototypical quarterback for it. And the defense is with Big Z and Harrison Smith picking off Aaron Rodgers showed me that's a very complete team that Minnesota put out there in week one, but in my mind, not as complete as the Bucs because there's TB12, man. I like what the Bucs look like. I like the way that they looked. I liked seeing Todd Bowles and his calm, cool demeanor out there on the sideline and just sitting back and letting TB12 sling it around. And Julio freaking Jones, man.
Man, Julio down by the
school. Julio Jones is running jet sweeps.
He's running 20 miles an hour.
Yeah, he is amazing.
That's fast.
And I know Godwin got hurt, but here comes Julio Jones. Maybe he and Evans, like, good luck.
Yeah.
That's like the all 2010s NFC South team right there. You might say best receivers in the NFC South and in the teens. You might go Evans and Julio Jones. You know, and then I have the Bills one because of that, the way they looked. And bring me back on camera for the Chiefs, will you please? All right, Eric, this is for you. You turn it down. You turn it off. Eric Stone Street and Chiefs Nation and everyone else, this one's for you. I had the Raiders to win the division, and I got to stick to it because I talked about it way since March. And I did kind of cover the tracks a little bit. Chiefs Nation kind of didn't hear it, maybe. Because they can't hear it over the, I think the Raiders are winning the division.
You don't have to keep.
No, hold on, man. Hold on.
You don't have to.
Hold on. I have to, TJ. I have to. And I did kind of cover my tracks a little bit by saying the Chiefs offense not only is going to be okay, but it could be better. Could be better because Tyreek Hill, sure, he's top notch. But now if you've got five, six weapons you have to take care of, and one of them still Travis Kelce. And one of them is now a healthy Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and the rest of that running back core. I mean, they got four of them there. Okay, they got four of them. They got McKinnon, they got Ronald Jones, and they got this kid Isaiah Pacheco out of Rutgers. And they got Juju Smith-Schuster, and they got Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and they got Mecole Hardman, and they got Justin Watson, and they got Andy Reid, and they still have, for some reason, Eric Bieniemy as their coordinator because no one else has hired him in the NFL. The stat of the weekend, 66 offensive snaps, 33 first downs. Did you see that, Chris?
I did.
Let me make sure I saw that properly, that there is no typo on all of that. Stat of the weekend, the hit rate. For the Kansas City Chiefs, 66 offensive plays, 33 first downs. We do the math for you here. That's what RES Consulting does. That's 50% of snaps.
Half.
That's not a strong suit, though. Admittedly.
They snapped the ball 66 times. Half the time they got a first down on it. You want to chalk that up to Arizona's defense? I don't think they're that bad. But that said, the Bills are still my team to win the Super Bowl, and I'm sticking to it. And that Bills-Chiefs game that is coming up on the schedule, you can circle it right here and right now. The Buffalo Bills are taking on the Kansas City Chiefs in Arrowhead Week 6.
In Al.
Circle it. Circle it. And you look at Buffalo. Can they go into that game undefeated? They got a Monday nighter at home against Tennessee. They're at Miami, at Baltimore, home for Pittsburgh, at Kansas City. And then Kansas City comes home, as you know, on Thursday night. That's a tough one against the Chargers. Then they're at Indianapolis, at Tampa, home for Vegas on a Monday night. I have a feeling I need to unplug my phone to make sure Stone Street doesn't call me that night. And then there's that Buffalo game. And I don't know, I don't know how my power rankings are going to change at the top very much, but who knows? That's why they're power rankings. There are many like them, but this one is mine, to use the Full Metal Jacket phrase. So I just wanted to say the Kansas City Chiefs are 2, and I didn't think they'd be sitting up there at 2, but they are definitely, in my mind, 2. And it'll be maybe a coin flip when the AFC Championship game hits, but obviously that's about 20 weeks from now. What say you? 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Chris Brockman and TJ Jefferson on our YouTube page. You're going to have your power rankings. You're going to shoot that for our YouTube page. That's going to be posted later on. You've got your MVP rankings later on in hour number 3.
Correct.
We will hit that it sounded like the Denver Broncos' new head coach called for a mulligan. At least that's what the headlines say, but listen to the soundbite, and I don't think that is what Nathaniel Hackett said yesterday.
Does he know how it works?
I don't think that is what he said yesterday after he went off the air. I think he still thought it was the right move. But we'll talk about that in hour number 3 on this program. And yes, we will say a special hello to our friends in Cleveland who have choice words to say about us over their elf. Yes, over their elf. We will not shelf that conversation. That's coming up right after we talk to Sauce Gardner, prior to which we didn't play the Robert Saleh receipts soundbite.
We haven't.
That will be coming up next, and with you, 844-204-RICH, number to dial. If you're listening to us coast to coast on Odyssey Terrestrial Radio or watching us on the Roku channel, give us a ring, 844-204-RICH. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH being the number to dial here on the program. Got my new Roku mug right here.
You mean we got our new Roku mug?
That's right. You got one. Yeah. Hold it up. How does it look for you?
I mean, you better tell me.
You? Yeah. Hey. Take a sip. Let's see.
Peek out real quick.
There we go. TJ Jefferson. Oh, peeking's extended. Oh, careful. Let's not.
Oh, come on.
Let's not slurp. Come on.
It just was so delicious.
Your mother's watching.
I'm sorry.
Brockman was second rate over here. Brockman doesn't drink coffee. Though.
You don't.
I'm a Yeti guy.
But you're not. I know you're a Yeti guy, but you don't drink mug. I've never seen
you drink
a mug.
I drink coffee.
You can't have something that's easily poppable over there.
Exactly. If I had a mug here, that'd be bad.
You know, I spilled all over the set in Miami at the Super Bowl, and Joe Burrow watched it, didn't even lift a finger while I watched me clean up in front of him.
Liquids around what I'm doing are bad, Rich.
Joe Burrow was cool under pressure.
Joe Burrow was cool. Just watch me. Spilled everywhere.
He had white sneakers on.
It's terrible.
He's like, I'm
like,
oh
audio God, what a mess. Do well together.
What a mess. So, look.
Thanks for sitting through all that, by the way.
Look, I have, and this is Sauce Gardner's about to call in. I have seen them all as a Jet fan. I've seen them all. My first Jet head coach I can remember was Walt Michaels. May he rest in peace. In the 70s, he was Richard Todd's head coach. I always remember he, whenever it was cold, he wore these big, huge gloves on. They looked like oven mitts.
Okay.
And then, you know, and then it went to Joe Walton.
Yeah.
Okay.
Michaels was 77 to 82.
And then Joe Walton showed up, right?
Yep.
And then that was the chance of Joe must go.
83 to 89.
Right. Joe must go.
Made the playoffs a couple times.
Right. Right. And then was that a Coslett? Was that the Coslett era that began?
Yeah.
We had to go get the offensive coordinator that Boomer Esiason had when he was winning, you know, hopefully for the going to winning championships for the Bengals.
Yeah, so Coslett did 4 years, 90 to 93.
Yeah. And then the Jets got co-tidy bad.
And you forgot the 1 year of Pete Carroll.
Oh, yeah. Pete Carroll. That's right, Pete. That's right. The Jets actually saw what the rest of the league now sees, which is, you know, a guy, he acts like a child, but he is a man child when it comes to, you know, coaching. The Jets gave him a one and done
because
they had to bounce him for Rich.
Yeah,
how to get some coat tight.
Pete went 6-10. They're like, no, that's not good. Let's go 3-13 and then 1-15.
Parcells then came in and got things sorted until the Jets got sold, and then he's like, I'm out. And Belichick's like, okay, I got my little cocktail napkin where I was going to be in, but then I'm out. And then little Al Groh situation.
One year of Al Groh.
Yeah, they had 53 flashlights, right? That's what they said. He was talking about, you know.
Al Groh.
You know, he got.
He was good, 9-7.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, that's good for the Jets.
Herm came in to start playing to win the game.
And Herm did great. Herm made the playoffs 3 out of 5 years.
Herm with Chad Pennington. It was good.
Yep.
His press conferences were epic.
And then Rex came in, and he wasn't going to kiss anybody's rings. Rich. But in between.
Well,
the man genius. was it an episode of Sopranos?
Yes. Yep. They were
man
in the
genius.
Restaurant.
Yep. The man genius came in. That was the ill-fated Favre Spygate era.
Yep.
Rex Ryan and then Todd Bowles. And now, again, I laughed out loud when Tirico said on the broadcast, he spent 4 years with the Jets and learned many lessons. Yeah, there's lots of lessons to be learned. Certainly when you get bounced for Adam Gase. Now here comes Robert Saleh, and he's already, you know, he's like this. He's so calm, cool, and collected, but he's already feeling the sense of dread that we Jet fans have, and everybody just keeps on saying same old Jets, same old Jets, same old Jets. This is his version of the "you play to win the game" speech, and it's very Saleh-like. It's very, very just chill until the very end, where he kind of showed his fangs a little bit. Hit it.
It's really hard to explain. You just feel the team getting faster and faster and faster, and you're going to see it on tape. As you're watching TV, you're going to be like, "Damn, these guys are flying around and they're making plays and they're talking smack," and it's, you know, like it's like the first half of the game. When you look at the defensive side, just the first half of the game, and even the offense, the way it was moving the ball, but it just kept shooting ourselves in the foot. Like when those little errors that the offense was having in the first half stop happening, it's going to be explosive, and then it carries on to the second half. You're just going to feel it, and in a way, it does just click where you're just stacking up day after day after day. And and it's really, really cool when it does happen, because it just absolutely pops off the tape, and I know it's going to happen, we're all taking receipts on all the people who continually mock and say that we ain't going to do anything. I'm taking receipts, and I'm going to be more than happy to share them with all of y'all when it's all said and done.
here's the usual with the culture changers that come into the Jets country is we as the fan base, it's just, you know, the slow boil has been 50 plus years now. It's been, I'm 53-year-old man. I was an embryo when Joe Namath was there, okay? And so I'm speaking for Jets fans where the boil is so slow and the players are definitely faster. You could see that. That is true. That is true. The issue is it's been, I just gave you the 50-plus years, so there's a lot of impatience. I am not one of those, as you know, that has been critical saying it's not going to happen. I really like a lot of the changes that Joe Douglas has instituted and that Saleh does appear to have the ability to execute. Quarterback's got to stay healthy. And when he doesn't stay healthy and he's the only week one starter that's not out there because he's not healthy of any of the 32 teams, we feel like we're still getting kicked in the nards by the football gods. So there's a different set of receipts. So I hope Coach Saleh understands that, where that's coming from the fan base. I think he does, but he's right. If there's anybody out there who says the same old Jets, they have no shot to do this, stand by. We're about to talk to Sauce Gardner. And he knows none of what I'm talking about from the previous years. He doesn't know the difference between Walt Michaels and Joe Walton either. I do, though. And he's on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line right now. He is none other than one of the best defenders to come out of collegiate football in a while. Certainly out of Cincinnati. And he and the Jets are going to take on the Browns and Brownie the Elf on Sunday in week number two. Joining us on the Mercedes-Benz Vans phone line, courtesy of Buffalo Wild Wings, is none other than Sauce Gardner. How are you doing, Sauce?
I'm doing very well, man. Thanks for having me. How you doing?
I am doing great. Let's just jump right into it. What was it like, your first NFL game for you, Sauce?
And it was a blessing, man, just being able to fly around on the field with the defense, with my teammates. You know, it was everything that I thought it would be, man.
And I found it also quite moving on 9/11 that the first person out of the tunnel with the American flag was you, with the number one jersey on. Was that planned? Did you know that you were going to be leading that charge, Sauce Gardner?
I actually didn't. You know, it's just something that just naturally happened. I think it was a jersey number thing.
Okay.
But I'm not sure.
What was that like for you to introduce yourself in a way on such an emotional day at a big moment coming out of the tunnel like that in the NFL, Sauce Gardner?
That day meant a lot to me. You know, I was actually born in 2001, so I wasn't able to be really, like, alive for that long when it happened. But I just know a lot of my coaches were talking about it and talking about, like, what they were doing, you know, when that all happened. So I wasn't just playing for, like, my family, you know, and my loved ones. You know, I was playing for America. I was playing for the things, the tragic things that happened on the day of 9/11, 2001. So,
and yeah, and it was quite a day, no question about it. And then the football began to be played. There's always a conversation that the speed of the game is something that a rookie in the NFL does not expect. How was it to you with obviously needing to keep an eye on Lamar Jackson and whoever else came out of the backfield your way? Sauce.
The speed wasn't too different. The main thing, it was extremely loud, you know, when we were on defense, so I was having to make sure I came in the huddle a little bit more to get the call. You know, that was just the main thing, you know, the environment.
And then the game was played, and the Jets, as we all know, did not come up with the win. Your coach, Robert Saleh, is talking about the speed of the team and how you can notice a difference in how things are going to click in when he was asked on Monday about when the Jets might start turning a corner. And he said that he's got receipts of anybody who thinks it's not going to happen. Have you seen those receipts, Sauce Gardner? Have you seen them?
Honestly, man, I know we have the guys. I know we have the talent. You know, it's just a matter of time to when it happens, you know. You know, we were down. We just got to make sure we stay in the game, you know, and keep executing.
No, I just kind of, I guess, referencing your coach using words I've never really heard Robert Saleh say, is that he's keeping receipts on those who are doubting the New York Jets. Are you doing the same, Sauce Gardner? Are you doing
it? I try not to pay too much attention, but, you know, those things have popped up in the team meetings. you know, and I'm aware of a lot of them.
What do you mean they popped up in team meetings? What do you got?
Like the receipts, stuff that people say about the Jets organization, you know, and the team.
Like, are you seeing video or you're seeing like headlines? What are you actually?
It's just little social media stuff. It ain't no big deal. Like tweets and stuff like that. It's not videos. Just small little things.
And this is in team, full on team meetings or just defensive meetings? Where were we seeing those?
I don't remember if it was team or defensive meeting. It was one of the meetings that popped up, man. You know, we know what we got to do, man. It's going to happen real soon.
Well, that's what I was referring to the last time we spoke, Sauce Gardner, before you got drafted, is I was pounding the table for you, as you know. I wanted you to be a Jet in the worst way. And, you know, I'm sitting on the set of the NFL Network, and then I heard your name called in Vegas, and I'm like, absolutely, this is what needed to happen. But I asked you beforehand saying, you know, the Jets have a fan base of saying it's just the same old, and things happen to the team in a way that doesn't seem to befall any other. And Zach Wilson's injury, to be honest, is the latest such example, and asked you how you are going to change the culture around if you go to the Jets. Now you're there. Do you have a conversation with Garrett Wilson and your rest of your draft class about this very subject matter? Sauce Gardner?
Yeah, we know we got to change the culture. I'm not going to say the Jets, they're used to losing, but we just got to change the culture, man. We have the guys to win, and we have to do whatever it takes. Like, I'm used to leading by example, but that's on me as well. I got to be more vocal. You know, I got to do whatever it takes so that way we can turn around fast because, you know, luckily that's just one game. That was the first game of the season. You know, we could turn it around extremely fast.
And now you're going back to the state where you played your college football. You're going back to Ohio. It's Cleveland. Are you going to have any fans, friends, anybody that you're hosting at this game, Sauce Gardner?
I'm not sure yet.
Okay, still early.
I know my boy Jerome Ford. He played running back there though.
Okay. All right. Just trying to see if there's any homecoming aspect of it. I know that, you know, obviously you played in Cincinnati. This is Cleveland. Did you know that the Browns are putting a huge-ass elf in the middle of the field? It's their mascot. Have you ever played football?
I just seen that on Twitter.
Okay.
Like, literally before we got on.
Have you ever played a game with a huge-ass elf in the middle of the field before, Sauce Gardner? Has that ever happened for you? Is this going to be a new thing for you?
Yeah, it's going to definitely be a new thing.
Okay. Do you want to plant a flag on that like Baker Mayfield? What do you think? What do you like? What do you got for me?
Possibly, man. I don't know. You got to wait and see.
Okay, let's do that. Well, how's Zach Wilson doing? Anything you could tell me? I know it's injuries, and you're not supposed to talk about injuries outside of the team, but I'm kind of freaking out. So many Jets fans are, too, about how he looks, and I know he was on the sideline. What can you tell me, Sauce Gardner?
I haven't really seen him too much. You know what I'm saying? I just know he's been putting a lot of work in. You know, he always smiling. You know, that's my guy, man. But, you know, as far as the injury and everything, he looking good. I don't know. I don't know like exactly what's going on, but he's looking real good.
Okay. Let's get to one of the reasons why you're calling in, other than just to say hello, right? You call in to say hello, right, Sauce Gardner?
Definitely.
Okay,
definitely,
good. Yeah. Very good. So we go way back to the combine when, you know, you really didn't know I was keeping my eye on you. And now here you are as a New York Jet, and you're in a Buffalo Wild Wings partnership, and you are in a B-Dubs ad where you said some athletes just get a sneaker, I get a sauce. And now I've got a box here on my desk. It says Sauce Sauce. That's what this is called? It's Sauce Sauce is what I've got right here?
That's exactly what it is.
Okay. What do I have? I'm taking it off right now. Oh, look at this. Look at this box. There you are. There you are. You're looking, what is that? It looks like a football trophy back there. Okay. You're looking very happy.
Yeah.
Okay. There it is right there. All right. Walk me through what the sauce. What's the sauce taste like? Sauce Sauce.
It's a smoky, sweet, and spicy barbecue. Okay. I'm a huge barbecue guy, but I also like spicy food and spicy sauces. So, you know, I just thought it would be perfect to just mix them together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sweet and spicy barbecue.
Mm-hmm. And what is your favorite to put this on? If you had your choice, what do you got for me?
I would say like boneless wings, chicken sandwiches, chicken.
So chicken, what else are you going on? I mean, for those who want to branch out, what do you got, man?
I mean, you could, honestly though, you could put it on anything. You want me to be honest?
Okay.
No, it's not limited.
Please be honest. Please be honest. But I just want, I'm going to be honest with you too, man. My kids make fun of me for this. I'm just not a spice guy. I can't, it just lights up my mouth and I got to drink like a ton of water. I can't handle it, to be honest with you. So.
Hey, it's too spicy, man. It's just a little touch.
Just a little touch. So, okay. So there we go. And I'm seeing, they even got, Chris, look at this. They even got like this note inside of it right here where it's like a note from you. From as long as I remember, you've gone by Sauce, as long as you can remember. Your coach called you Sauce. Why? Why did you get that nickname of Sauce to begin with?
Man, I had a lot of it's a lot of reasons that went into it. You know, my ability, how I played the game of football.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I used to love Sauce when I was younger.
Okay.
You know, it's a lot of reasons, man.
This card says it's called because you had saucy sweet feet.
Yeah. Exactly, man.
Okay. Exactly. All right. All right. The rest is history. And keep it saucy. I know I will. That's the last line of this card that comes in the Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah.
Sauce container.
Hey, I appreciate Buffalo Wild Wings for that. You know, just how I'm bringing the sauce to the football field, they bringing it to the food. So, you know, I knew it was just a natural combination, you know, between me and them.
And by the way, hold on a second. We have trading card collectible people here on this set. TJ Jefferson, what do you say? TJ or you, Chris, are the number one,
He's investing a little more these days. Okay. But we're both pretty into it.
On September 1st, is it true that you, Sauce Gardner, and Buffalo Wild Wings hosted the first ever autograph signing using Sauce? You actually used Sauce to autograph material. That happened.
Oh, yeah. Nah, definitely. You know, that was probably one of the best experiences of my life, man. Just being able to interact with fans and autographs and stuff. You know, that was crazy.
Well, wow. I mean, you got to let it dry, right? I mean, how does that work?
I mean, it was dry. It was drying pretty fast, but that was just crazy, man. It was insane. When I first got there, they had a rookie card for me to sign.
Yep.
You know, so I signed that. That was the first thing I signed. They said they were going to auction it on eBay for the Buffalo Wild Wings Foundation, which benefits youth sports. So that was phenomenal right there.
All right.
That is amazing.
Okay. All right. Okay. And of course, that you used sauce for that.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
See, I'm picking up what you're putting down. All right, Sauce. Definitely, let's start winning some football games. What do you say? What do you think? Let's do it.
I'm with you on that one, man.
Oh, please. I mean, this is it. You and Jermaine Johnson, Breece Hall, just Garrett Wilson. You know, I'm a Michigan guy, so rooting for an Ohio State guy takes some getting used to, but I got used to it real fast this past weekend. Real fast. So, okay. Hey, thanks for the time, Sauce Gardner. Really appreciate it. Let's do this more often, even when you're not pitching new sauce. Okay. Let's do that.
Yeah, we got to stay in touch, man. Definitely do.
Let's do it. I'm all the way in. What do you do with your spare time? You living out in Jersey? Is that what you're doing, Sauce? You live out?
Yeah, man. I'm in Jersey. I stream. I stream video games sometimes, like Warzone and 2K.
Okay.
I play video games. That's really it.
Do you stream and now you're going to stream the Roku channel because that's what my show's on. What do you think? Let's do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gotcha.
Okay. Absolutely. All right. And I got your sauce right here. Next time, make it a little bit more sweet than the spicy. Oh, that's another thing. Yeah. I should ask you before I go. I spoke to Luke Fickell. He finally called you Sauce, right? He said he would never nick. He would always call you Ahmad, but never Sauce until you got in the NFL and you got drafted. He was there and he called you Sauce on the spot. Is that a true story?
Yep. No, that's true. But actually, one of my current teammates called me the name Sauce. I didn't think it was gonna happen that soon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, CJ Mosley. You know.
Okay.
He been calling me Ahmad this whole time, but after that game, called me Sauce, man. You're the first person to know that one.
So hold on a second. Is Salah not calling you Sauce? He's calling you. What is he?
Oh no, he called me Ahmad still.
Okay. And everyone else, is that like rookie hazing? Is that what that is?
Nah, that's not what it is. I mean, you know, it's a lot of people on the team who call me Sauce. CJ was just one of the captains, one of the leaders who said he was going to call me Ahmad until I made a play on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we went in the facility yesterday. it was the first thing he said to me was sauce. So yeah, that was kind of funny right there.
Did you then give him the sauce on the spot with your Buffalo Wild Wings box? That's too much even right now. You're just going to have to work.
That's too much.
You got to work your way up to that. Okay, but I've got it. I'm going to bring it home. I'm going to go grill with it this weekend. Thanks very much, Sauce Gardner. You're the man. Congratulations on everything. At I am Sauce Gardner on Twitter, at Sauce Gardner on Instagram. He is now a Buffalo Wild Wings pitch man, and he's got the first ever trading card to be sauced. And that's going to be auctioned on eBay to benefit the Buffalo Wild Wings Foundation. Everybody should check that out on eBay. Thanks for the call, Sauce. You be well.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
That's Sauce Gardner right here on the Rich Eisen Show. All right, let's be fair and balanced. The Cleveland side of things. And for many in Cleveland, this show has been shelved by the elf.
Nice.
That's coming up next. If you have no idea what I'm talking about, please don't miss this either. 844-204-RICH being the number to dial on the program.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
If you don't know your numbers, you don't know your business. That's true, and your business is growing fast. Even more true in our days of uncertainty going on right now. Not every business is in the dark, folks. That's because over 31,000 businesses know their numbers. They use NetSuite by Oracle, the number one cloud financial system. Visibility and control of your financials? Check. Planning? Check. Budgeting? Yes. And, of course, there's inventory, so you can manage risk, get reliable forecasts, and improve margins. Know your numbers. Know your business. And get to know how NetSuite can be the source of truth for your entire company. Right now, NetSuite is offering a one-of-a-kind flexible financing program. Head to netsuite.com/richradio right now. netsuite.com/richradio. netsuite.com/richradio. I'm used to getting slings and arrows from the state of Ohio. Not going to lie.
Ain't nothing new.
I actually showed up in Canton, Ohio and spoke with my chest in front of 5,000 Buckeye fans inside of one building, it felt like.
Happy you made it out.
I don't thrive on the awkwardness, uncomfortable. That's not my lane. I don't like being in
the swim in those waters.
No, I don't like being booed and hissed, and then say no. I'm here for all that stuff. Of course, a 42-27 win over Ohio State will definitely toughen the skin up a little bit. So that's the setup to boy, did we hear an earful. Me personally too. I heard from some Browns fans. By the way. You're off. You're way off. Our poll question did not go in the favor of the general consensus of this room on the very thorny subject, who knew, of Brownie the Elf. Who? Well, it's this monstrously large logo that few people across the country knew even was existing on the planet, let alone associated with the Cleveland Browns organization for, let me do the math properly in my head, about 80 years. And Brownie the Elf has been associated with this organization forever and a day, and fans of the Browns know exactly who it is and totally dig him. And the idea that that the Browns have removed the helmet from the Middlefield logo in Cleveland and put Brownie the Elf on it is a very popular decision. And us saying, who the hell is this elf and what the hell are the Browns thinking? Is not popular.
Well, not us. That would I would say all of us
you,
like that.
You were like, I kind of dig it. And we're all like, what's your malfunction? Yeah. And even we all got some grief for it, either text or on Twitter. I'll just show you one example of it that will, I think, suffice to stand for all of the grief we got. Mike Del Tufo got somebody who morphed Brownie the Elf, turning his left hand into flipping the bird at him.
Yep. And said,
you got it. This one, right, Mike?
Yes, this was tweeted at me.
I think that sums up the general response. So you know this gentleman, you want to set this up, who we're talking to,
this TJ is a good friend of mine, Nathan Zagora. He's the new Browns color commentator, color analyst.
Yes.
And, he texted me yesterday, and he gave me the full description and everything about Brownlee. So I said, hey. And then I walked into work today and you said,
get him on.
Get him on.
All right, joining us, the man who brings the analysis on the Cleveland Browns radio network and so much more, a diehard Brownie, although I assume he's bigger than an elf. Joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show for a few minutes, Nathan Segura. How you doing, Nathan?
Rich, it is great to be with you. TJ, thanks for bringing us together here so we can talk about the beloved Brownie the Elf, Rich. And I just want you to know,
yes.
I just want you to know this. So this was a logo that first appeared for the team in their inaugural year, 1946. So you had that right, almost 80 years yes. ago. It was on a game day program cover against the Miami Seahawks and tickets ads. And so I understand why people aren't outside of Cleveland aren't as familiar. So Art Modell takes over in the 60s, and the logo kind of goes away. It comes back in after 99, and in 2006, it was the Browns kind of training camp logo. And then in 2020, when the Browns make their wonderful playoff run, Kevin Stefanski was wearing a sweatshirt that says the Cleveland Browns equipment staff, and it had that running Brownie the Elf on it. It became the most popular item of clothing in this city. Nobody could get it, but I am told, Rich, J.W. Johnson, our owner and executive vice president, told me he will be happy to send you a Brownie hoodie. Just give me the size, and we'll get you hooked up in this hot, hip Cleveland gear here.
And I truly appreciate that. I'm sure I can give it to a Brown fan because, what's the phrase? I wouldn't be caught dead in it, but no, I'm just having fun with it. No, I look, in all honesty, I know it's beloved, but really, midfield? For the whole country to see? I mean, like, really? Is that what we're doing here?
So here's what happened, Rich. So for the last few years, there's been nothing at midfield for the Browns. And you were talking about when the helmet was there, and that had been traditionally what was at midfield. So this year, we decided, hey, we're going to put something back at midfield. And our head of marketing, Brent Rossi, JW, they came up with an idea that there was going to be four options presented to our fans and decided by our fans. So there were four field options that were presented. Two of them had the helmet at the midfield. One had the traditional Brownie the Elf, where he's kind of standing there with his hands on his hips. And then one had this running Brownie the Elf, which became popular on Stefanski's hoodie. And nearly 100,000 votes later, this is what was chosen. So this is the voice of the Cleveland Browns fan. They have selected Brownie the Elf to be at the 50-yard line. And as you said so eloquently yesterday, when I am calling games, yes, I will be looking down at that big old elf and hopefully looking at some Browns victories as well.
Well, not to correct you. I said big-ass elf is what I said.
Well, I was trying to keep it clean.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Nathan. I guess I just have the potty mouth when it comes to all that right here. As we're nearing the end of hour number one right here on the Rich Eisen Show, Nate Boyer, no relation to Nate Segura, is going to be joining us in studio to talk MVP in hour number two. Still here on Roku for about another minute and a half. So, Nathan, you're saying this is a fan vote? The fans say, yes, let's put that on there. So they're only following the will of the fans. Is what you're saying.
That's right. And the Browns fans, as you know, some of the best in the world. They are undefeated. They've been with us through thick and thin.
I know that.
And unfortunately, too much thin at times. But yes, this is their will. They said, get Brownie the Elf at the 50. We have heard it. It is happening. And that'll be the home opener against Sauce, your previous guest, and the Jets this Sunday.
Okay. So Art Modell de-elfed the Browns and then de-Browns to Cleveland. And then Randy Lerner put the elf back in, and then Stefanski put the elf on his chest, and now suddenly he's at midfield because the fans want it, and we stepped in saying, who the hell is this elf, and we hate it, and that's why there's a lot of scorn being sent in our direction from the state of Ohio. Is that sum it all up?
I would say you summed it up perfectly.
Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. Have a great broadcast. We'll have you on throughout the season, and I will take I will take one of those for sure.
What size you need, Rich?
Large.
Large? You got it.
Yeah, thank you so much, Nathan.
All right, brother.
There you go. I'll take one.
All right, Nate.
If the Browns are offering, if it's free, it's me.
Of course.
All right, send me three.
And we stroll in. We're like, we hate it. And the fans are like, we love it. And then the fans are like, yeah, look what's going to be in the middle of the field. It's Brownie the Elf. And then we're like, we hate it.
That looks stupid.
Stupid.
Yeah, we want it.
I tried to tell you.
Our bad?
Yeah. Our bad?
It's still the worst.
Guess what? If they lose to the Jets on Sunday, the elf is gone.
See ya. Rip it up.
See ya.
Hour two coming up on the show.